ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 10th installment of Capes and Commentaries. I'm Nathan Kennedy, joined by Tyler Baker. And we're bouncing around again, but we're staying in Gotham City. We're just jumping way far ahead in the year 2039. And we're talking about Batman Beyond. Sorry, I had the other video up and then it started going and it distracted me. I don't see how like Michael Cole and all of them do commentary when Vince is just like yelling in their ear. Because like, for 5 seconds that threw me off. But we're talking about Batman Beyond and we're gonna watch the first episode, which is a two-parter, so we're gonna leave you hanging a little bit. Description, make sure you click below because I got a link to Vimeo. So there shouldn't be any ads on there this time as a huge distraction for anybody. But Tyler, did you watch this, I'm assuming, when it premiered?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, I watched the premiere. It was a Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Me and my brother both watched it, and they played the first two episodes back-to-back as one big movie. So it was played like in an hour block on WGN back when that was like the more Warner Brothers-related network before the WB got started. And we loved it. We fell in love with it immediately, and my brother was a real big fan of it, and we just thought it was a great concept, and and continue to watch the show. I didn't watch it as religiously. I got caught up more on it when it came out on DVD.
Yeah, but same here for me. Honestly, it was a thing of I only watched like that first few episodes, and you know the Return of the Joker film, and I just kind of fell off until I got the DVDs.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's. I don't know why my kind of interest kind of waned to a certain degree. I'm not sure why, because I mean, when I got it on DVD, I mean, the entire series is fantastic.
You got to think about the time period that it came out too. It premiered in 1999 and ended in 2001. So we're looking at ourselves as like high school age, and yeah. I can see that kind of being pushed to the wayside. It's like, oh, well, here's wrestling, here's basketball, you know?
Yeah, all that stuff is still big, and collecting He-Man and Turtles and Thundercats and G.I. Joe and stuff like that, too. But
I wasn't collecting again because our friendship hadn't begun and you didn't take me down this dark road of emptying my wallet. It's like, oh, man, I was looking at eBay prices on some of those classics last night because I'm like, oh, well, how much is Faker? And I'm like, oh, God. Oh,
well,
man.
Try to look for the ultimate Faker, the one that Super 7 re-released, you know.
Actually going for more, surprisingly.
Oh, well, that makes sense because of the classic card art that's on there, too, and Axel's illustration on the back. So that I can understand.
It's all right. I'll find it. I'll find the ones that I want for a reasonable price.
You can always check some of the Facebook pages, too, like some that just focus strictly on buying and selling stuff. You get it from a fan, you're more likely to get a better price. So that's what you ought to be after. But if you guys are ready, we will head into our first episode. And just, you know, we will conclude with the next episode and the next episode of Capes and Commentaries, too. So we have no intentions of jumping and like, oh, we're going to go back to regular Gotham City. Like, no. We will finish up.
Week, we're going to talk about Transformers.
Yeah, we're just going to jump into episode 6 of Transformers there. Hell with this.
That's the beauty of the show. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we can if we want to, but I have every intention for us to finish the second part as well for the next installment.
And more Capes and Commentaries to follow in the next couple weeks. I'm going to have a little more time from work, so we're gonna do
crank
a shitload
of
it. Yeah, we're going to crank out a bunch.
Yeah, so we'll have more Batman Beyond. We'll have some Transformers. We'll have some G.I. Joe. Who knows? I mean, hell, we even tried to maybe do Mask of the Phantasm for all we know. It's possibilities are endless.
JSP, real quick before we get started, says, this was a show that wasn't supposed to suck. That was supposed to suck, but it didn't.
I didn't go into the show thinking that at all. It was intriguing, but you're not quite sure, you know, what to think because it's drifting what appears to be far away, but ultimately maintains that same level of great writing, good characters, and you buy into this journey of Terry taking on the mantle as the new Batman in the future, and Bruce Wayne's new part as well.
I feel like if they did it now, they would definitely screw it up.
Well, they wouldn't have the team of Paul Dini and Bruce Timm and Alan Burnett and those guys who brought us the great Batman and Superman series and Justice League. If you didn't have those guys, I'm sure they would botch it like they botch everything else. I still would like to see a Batman Beyond movie with Michael Keaton, coming back to play an elderly guy.
Yeah. Oh, man, that would be awesome. And Chris Pratt could be Terry McGinnis. And
you can go to hell for even suggesting such a thought. And
Chris Pratt can play in everything. Shark and Jaws.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If you guys are ready, just count down. I'll count down from three, and we'll all hit play together with the Warner Brothers logo and Bugs Bunny. 3, 2, 1, play. I will say, and this would make a great introduction for a movie as well. Like, and this is honestly, this is something I would have liked to have seen a small season of Batman or Bruce Wayne as an older Batman, like designing the new suit, going into action, seeing him go up against like Killer Croc and Two-Face at this time before leading up to the events of this kidnapping. Like, that's a season I would love to see, like older Batman taking on this suit in the modern era of Gotham. God, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, no, totally agree. I think if they did it in a movie too, you know, where they make these things 2.5 hours long, that first half hour, 45 minutes, even the first hour could just be dedicated to that, you know?
Yeah, already introduced to it, and this is what we're seeing. We're seeing him using the suit. It's helping him get through, you know, taking on Clayface and Mr. Freeze, but he realizes he's having complications regardless of the suit.
Yeah,
leading up to an event like this.
At this point, Batman, Bruce Wayne is in his 50s right here.
Yeah. And
which, when you think about it, like, it's not that old, but you got to think all the wear and tear on his body after all those years.
Yeah, when you think about it, with him becoming Batman in his, you know, 20s and the training alone, let alone going out every night with no body armor, essentially, and taking beatings and cuts and bruises and God knows everything else in between. Yeah, I mean, it's just like any great athlete. I mean, Batman's taking beatings of combining a great quarterback, a great center, you know, a baseball player that's, you know, the best home run hitter. I mean, just all the wear and tear on the body. I mean, it's you break it down, man. It's Bruce Wayne has earned his right to rest and retire at some point.
And this is just a nice touch. Like, here he gets so desperate that we see here in a second that he'll actually kind of just go against his entire moral code and standing.
I like that. Like, and just this brief couple of minutes of this episode, we are given an entire story arc that gives you reason as to why he quit being Batman. And that's a great way. Like, it's a way that no fan would argue that the guy is so desperate to take down the criminal that he resorts to the thing he hates the most and realize that, you know what, I can't do this anymore. It's time to hang it up. And that's just the talent of the guys behind this show. And why the hell Hollywood can't seem to get Batman as well written as the animated series in this and Justice League. I'll never understand why they just, everyone's going to come in and put their own damn spin on it.
The material's right there. You know, if you rip up, even if you were just to rip off of all these cartoons, I would not hold that against you because they're all well written.
And to interpret a lot of these, because we're still celebrating for a reason. You know, we're not stuck in the past. These are some great episodes that, I mean, as an adult, I appreciate even more as an adult than I did as a teenager and a kid, because you do spend a lot of time building up these characters that the action, it comes in. And by the way, I love
this music theme is awesome.
I mean,
and the intro itself is just kind of like, hey, we're gonna be in the future now. Is it's gonna almost just a cyberpunk look to it? My favorite part though is when it kicks into that and you see that guy like dancing over here.
Yeah, in the nightclub. Because I really like, you know, the whole techno nightclub feel that this show has, because I like that kind of music and Christopher Carter's music throughout the whole show, the various themes and things, and Shirley Walker's closing thing too, who did the music on the other animated series. That'd be Nathan in a nightclub.
Yep.
Yeah. But I can picture all this with a hungry director and Michael Keaton right there is older Bruce Wayne. All this would look so great on film. It's a brand new look. It's refreshing to have the villain like Blight, you know, because that's my favorite villain of the entire series has always been Blight since the show came out, because I thought he was such a kick-ass villain. And Derek Powers himself is such a great villain anyway.
Yeah.
So all this would look great on, I mean, you could expand, I mean, obviously with CGI and stuff like that too, but it just, it needs a film, but it needs like an unknown actor to play Batman. You don't need some like, oh man, this is what's so cool and hip with kids today bullshit. You know, you need someone that's hungry and wants to prove himself and can make the character his own, and let Michael Keaton be the star power for the, and maybe casting someone to play Derek Powers, like, you know, as a relatively like well-known name, but not like massive star or something like that. It's just like with Batman 89 and Superman. And I love the idea that the Joker is constantly celebrated in this future by young gangs that
still lives on.
Yeah. And I think that's a great idea to have it I mean, it was a great idea for the series. And I think for a movie too, to have that element of the Joker, that he's just idolized by these young lost teenagers and college age kids that just think that this is the greatest guy that ever stepped foot in Gotham. Let's carry on his name and try and carry on the tradition, even though they don't know anything about being a world-class criminal. Of course, they're all not nuts either. They're just young and stupid.
And real quick, too, there was a question posed to us if we've heard about the DC Network. Yeah, I have. I think that it's... I don't know. Like, if they're putting all this older content and stuff on there, fine. But to me, it doesn't really justify its price. Especially, I haven't watched that trailer for Titans that just came out, but I've heard a lot of negative stuff about it, which is not surprising either.
And honestly, I mean, I'm more interested in seeing the big heavy hitters. I mean, I always have been. I love Robin, but I'd like to see Nightwing. That's what I would like to see. Is, I mean, a Nightwing series would be kind of cool, but I just don't. I've never really cared to watch a lot of the current stuff like the Flash and Supergirl and stuff. Arrow, I just never could quite buy what they were selling, and I know it's got a fan following, and I'm glad these people love it. But, you know, I've sampled The Flash. I wasn't too keen on what I saw. But,
this is bullshit right here, by the way. Like,
yeah,
he spits in his mouth, essentially. If someone spit in my mouth, yeah, I'd take a swing at him, too.
Yeah, I think I'd be more inclined to, like, pick the guy up and slam him on the ground. And
of course, the coach isn't going to have anything of
it. No, because the star jock is going to get the fair treatment. I mean, that's goes on in schools today. We got to protect our athletes.
Yeah,
like that. So
it's how the world works. It's how the cookie crumbles.
But I would go through that if I knew that I got to take up the mantle of Batman too. So
yeah,
I take the beatings of everyday life, knowing I could go out and kick ass at night in an awesome suit and fly around. This particular guy reminds me of a Looney Tune character. I can't remember who his name was, but. But I like all this nice conspiracy cover up that we're dealing with Terry's father and this particular guy here about what that will inevitably lead to blight being created. It's fun building up to the inevitable like Kickstarter of like why he wants to take up the mantle of being Batman. I mean, there's a lot of Spider-Man in this as well. And Terry's a relatable character in this show too. Like, you know, even watching it now, like you feel bad for him, or you want him to succeed with, you know, relationships and things like that too. And I mean, going through the loss of his father and things. I mean, it's excellent writing. This is what Warner Brothers needs to be focusing on. Stop worrying about all the Zack Snyder bullshit and all this other stuff. They just can't seem to get right. They just keep botching them left and right. And this would be something that had never been done before, you know. We're talking a feast for the eyes, a way of reintroducing Batman. That's not a reboot, it's not a reimagining, because it's continuing the traditional story of Batman. So you have like no preconceived notions of like, well, this one was better, or I like Nolan was better, or blah, blah, blah. It's like no, this would be a clean slate to do this as a live action film or a series of films.
But it'll never happen because it's too good of an idea.
Oh yeah, and not going to listen to, you know, reason. It's the people sitting in the board making all the executive decisions and this and that, making a solo Joaquin Phoenix Joker film. Like, dude, I don't want to see that.
Yeah,
and I sure as hell don't want to see another Jared Leto Joker either.
Oh man, did you read more about that Joaquin Phoenix Joker in regards to, it's like, well, all right, he's gonna have his name, like they're just gonna put their own spin of like, this is who he was and this is how he
I don't want to know what his origin was.
It's kind of like Rob Zombie's Halloween, right? Like, you know, Michael Myers has a mystique and a mystery to him. You know the basis of what happened, but you don't know everything. And that tried to explain too much, and it just didn't work. And this is going to be the exact same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't benefit us as fans or even new fans. You know, I'd rather walk out of the theater wondering why happened. And Mask of the Phantasm still has the best origin for the Joker. Better than the Killing Joke or anything else. The simple fact that he was a mean, nasty guy. And of course, Batman 89 too. Same thing, where he's a bad dude, evil, and the transformation just intensifies that. And leave it at that. We don't need to know how he got to where he was. Just know that this guy was always no good and enjoyed what he did.
You know, whatever sells more shirts, a Hot Topic, right?
God. So that's why so I don't go see movies. I'm tired of being mad. I just stay at home, save money.
There you go, man. And just Redbox it. I'm gonna Redbox Rampage with The Rock tonight, which will fit in perfectly with the topic for Beyond Retro tomorrow. We're gonna be talking about video game movies, and I know it's weird. It's like, let's take this property and just completely. Kudos and bravo to them, I guess. But we'll see how it turns out. I know it won't be great, but. Research for the show. Just look at Tyler's face, Dad. They can't see it because with the two of us, it just switches back and forth, so they couldn't see your face just now.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll just listen to what you have to say, but I'll just keep my focus on Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter and Double Dragon,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah.
But don't you just hate, and I love this action sequence here with the music going across, like this is just visually stunning, getting on these motorbikes, going across the bridges of Gotham with this awesome techno music and a gang of Jokers chasing. I mean, it's a great action sequence.
It kind of reminds me of a blend of Akira.
Yeah.
And that level on, well, I think it was a level, but it was also like a little mini game too at the arcade in Final Fantasy VII. Reminds me a lot of that too. You're like Cloud and you got your sword and there's all these bikes coming up and you're like slashing them as they're coming up towards you. Kind of reminds me a little bit of that too.
That and a little bit of Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think all this would look great visually.
Oh, it definitely would.
And seeing that, you know, everyone's still using, you know, like, they're actually using bikes that don't float. They're actually using bikes that require wheels to go and not like levitating, you know, like the cars and various other things can float above air and things like that. But
and they kind of thought ahead when they did this too, because this is taking place in 2039, which is still like a good 20 years from our present day. So
yeah,
which would make the idea of a film even better, honestly, because people love futuristic shit.
Yeah, and if you treat it right, like something like The Fifth Element, you know, where it's the focus is on the story and the futuristic aspect is just kind of there as a nice decorative aspect of the film. And like this, because all this is great story.
Wasn't that interesting right there when the one guy's like, let's put a smile on his face? Like, I thought that was just kind of...
It's like Christopher Nolan stole that for...
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, him and his brother and David Gore, they just mooshed off this show. Bunch of hacks. It's like Steven Spielberg stealing the bit of the tree of the Jeep falling on Grant from the movie Time Chasers from Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah. And now Bruce is just going to beat the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, and to see Michael Keaton doing all this, God, that'd be
awesome. Oh, yeah,
Michael
that Keaton would be awesome.
Oh, man. And I know he would do it. I really think because he has really embraced the fandom of his portrayal as Batman. I mean, I think at this point it's never been more popular outside of when the first film came out.
Yeah.
Like fans absolutely love that, and it would just be great because the man deserves to come back and participate in another Batman film. And I would because he wouldn't have to be in the suit. It would just require him to be the great actor that he is. You know, he would steal every scene just like he did in Spider-Man Homecoming.
He kind of was really the only...
He was the only good thing.
The best part, yeah.
Yeah, and it could have been great, but it wasn't. It sucked. It was, you know, it was a yuck fest. A bad one at that.
Man,
Not abysmal. I didn't walk out of there angry. I was just disappointed, you know.
I really want to get you a shirt or have them made up and put them on Joe's the shop that he sells his other shirts on that just says Yuck Fest, but it's like in it looks like the Marvel Studios logo.
Yeah, and the Marvel font. Yeah, I would put that in a tank top. Absolutely. It was a Yuck Fest.
Good. Now get out. Leave me alone.
I would love to ask Kevin Conover about like how do you like this is something I would love to know of playing a young Batman. Now you got to learn how to play a senior citizen Batman at a very old age. How do you find that?
Well, you got 1 week and you'll be able to ask him that.
Yeah, I'd love to ask and playing young Bruce Wayne because they all sound all three very young Bruce Wayne, Batman slash Bruce Wayne, and then older Bruce Wayne. I mean, I would love to know what it's like to how to craft, you know, the same character and establish the same character, but at a different age. And of course we get kind of the Spider-Man aspect here coming up here shortly, but I do like this, just going ahead and setting him up that he's going to find out that, man, this old man I'm helping out was Batman. Very cool. Like none of this feels for like I buy every bit of this. Like none of this feels forced because we want the people, and because he doesn't become Batman until the second episode. And I love the build up, but you're establishing that he's on to it. We're planting the seeds for that and seeing the Batcave. And
well, did it ever bother you that the voice of Terry McGinnis was Eric Matthews on Boy Meets World? Because I know that you're not the biggest fan of that show. So,
oh, I love the show when it was a regular show on ABC, but it's not something I've ever cared to revisit. But Will Friedle did an excellent job as Terry McGinnis slash Batman on here, and I liked him as Lionel on the Thundercats show. Even though I didn't care for that show, he was a great Lionel, and he was a
he's a good voice actor. Batman. I'm glad that he found his niche after that show ended because he didn't really do much else, and he went kind of. He strayed more towards voice acting.
And he's done a great job with it because he's done a very good job with it. I mean, to me, he's played two memorable characters.
Yeah.
And one, you know, it's kudos to him because he really did make it his own. Because this could have been easily botched. I mean, to say you're going to create a young new Batman for a new generation, yeah, it could have easily sucked. And I mean, thank God that the guys who were behind this were the guys that have given us what we've all come to know. And I would trust them again with doing more Batman. Of course, some of those guys are still doing the straight to video DC animated films and like Killing Joke and all that other horse shit. And
they haven't even gone back and like revisited this character at all, have they?
They did it once in Justice League. I remember Justice League Unlimited, which was really cool to have like the futuristic Justice League with Terry and Green Lantern and Hawkgirl's son. And I forgot, it's been a while since I've watched that episode, but they crossed paths a couple times.
But they haven't
travel and stuff.
They haven't gone back to this property since. And no, honestly, it's about damn time.
It is.
Need to bring it back.
Yeah. And I would love to see, you know, kind of not forcing, because I remember I had a hard time when they were going to do like Return of the Joker, and I was like, oh, God, I don't know how am I going to really buy this. And you do have to kind of accept this. I mean, of course, the backstory of the death of the Joker in that is fantastic, but buying the fact that Joker implanted this technology that would take effect, you know, much later on, and a young Tim or an older Tim Drake. Hey, I mean, I could see it would be a hard pill to swallow for some people, but when you buy how great the story and the voice acting is, and it, like you kind of accept it all. Because honestly, like I've always said, I don't want my Batman to be realistic. I don't want it to be like the Christopher Nolan films, and then you get silly when you feel like you've kind of written yourself into a corner. You know, I like to have the fact that it's a comic book. It shouldn't be overly realistic. You know, I like having some, you know, because if it was realistic, we wouldn't have Superman running around,
yeah,
and things like that. So I like having a little bit of a sci-fi kind of a fantasy edge to Batman, you know.
So Terry's getting back into the story here. Terry's father has been murdered, and now he's
talked over such a big part. God, I'm sorry, people.
Oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. I like that we can sit and just sort of have these discussions too while we watch. But like, all right, so now he's discovered this disc that's going to have all this hidden information on it, and I love how this episode is going to end, because he's looking at this and he knows that he can't trust anybody else with it, and the pieces are starting to come together, and it's just a really cool way, and also a really good cliffhanger if you're not watching the episodes back to back.
Yeah, it's a great way of like setting up while they ran into each other, but how was this all going to play out, and knowing that he really didn't have much of or too many options that he can go to with the hand he's been dealt right now, like knowing that his dad was covering up something very dangerous. And it works right. And knowing Terry's got a hot girlfriend too, it's pretty cool. All this, like it's just like going to this kind of haunted mansion kind of thing. It's all decrepit and old out there, and thunderstorm and stuff. Very atmospheric. So cool. Such a great show. And I really like how they really push the fact that Bruce doesn't trust too many people at all anymore, period. You know, that he's really a major recluse. So this is like a big, and even then, I feel like it takes him a while to really
warm up to Terry.
I mean, even by the end of the second episode, I mean, he takes him on as the supposed apprentice and allowing him to carry on the mantle of Batman. But there still is that, you know, you may be the new Batman, but I am Batman. I was Batman, and you're still going to follow my rules. You know, this is my way, and I love how they carry that on. And there's your first episode, people.
There's the first. Yeah, you get that awesome end credit music.
Yeah,
too.
Makes you want to go run across like the rooftops of somewhere. That's what I feel like doing when I hear this music. It's awesome. Hell, even the music for the opening for Return of the Joker is probably some of the best that's been done for the show, I think. Yeah.
So many good things that came out there towards the end of the decade.
Mm-hmm. It really was. It was kind of a nice little capper to cartoons of the 90s, man. I mean, there was a few good ones, a few really good ones, a lot of stinkers, but there were some pretty solid ones overall. But there's our commentary on episode 1 of the Batman Beyond series, so I certainly hope everybody enjoyed it as much as we did and found our commentary entertaining.
And next week will be Rebirth Part 2.
Yeah. We'd see Terry in the suit for the first time with the birth of Blight.
Yeah. And everyone stay tuned for Beyond Retro tomorrow. Video game movies. It should be an interesting conversation because I know that the majority of us haven't seen some of the other stuff that had come out later, but we have definitely seen, you know, like, our Mario Brothers, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighters, Double Dragons, etc. Those first clusters that came out that just, oddly enough, Mortal Kombat still percentage
still is the best.
Still percentage wise too, review wise is near the top as well. So,
yeah, I can't wait to dig into that and dig into the whole Street Fighter / G.I. Joe movie like idea. Like that's something that. I ran that by you a while back where I felt like rewatching it last year. I'm like, this really comes off as a G.I. Joe.
Oh, yeah. It really does. It's a better G.I. Joe film than the G.I. Joe films than we got. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And I definitely look forward to expanding upon that. But if you enjoy this commentary too, remember we are on iTunes under Pop Culture Network, and we're also on Podbean, so that way you can just download the audio and not have to worry about watching it strictly on YouTube, because the commentaries are more about the audio than the visual.
Yep.
So,
I'll put the other links down below too.
Awesome.
For the Podbean and the Facebook page, but make sure you hit that subscribe button and the bell to get the notifications when we're going live or when we're supposed to go live.
Yeah. Or when we're delayed because someone was in a
call. Oh man. Yeah. Real quick before we end it, I had an alarm set for like noon, woke up, and like turned the alarm off, and I was awake for a good 5 minutes. I was just laying there, and somewhere in between, I just passed back out, woke up, and I'm looking. I'm like, oh yeah, the show should have been starting already. I had like drool and everything on my face. I was like, what?
Should have him with, like the white stain on your mouth there. Yeah. Oh god.
Yeah, gave you a call immediately. I was like, I'll shower and I'll be on. I'm sorry, but thanks to JSP for joining us live for this commentary episode.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, and next week, Rebirth, part 2.
See you next week.